What a beautiful morning we had today in our service this morning on coverings and New Year's resolutions, and then our new way, the new way, the true vine. I am the true vine, Christ said. Would you turn there with me to John 15, and we'll refer to that portion. John 15. In the research on New Year's resolutions, the majority of the people say, I think this year I'm going to lose weight. Another one, get healthy, be fit, get organized. That sounds great. Another New Year resolution, learn new hobbies, spend less, save more, travel, read more. And then in their study, they say that in a year's time, 8% of the people keep their New Year's goals. We understand that it's easy to say, this is what I want to do, or this is what I'd like to do. But how resolved are we when we make a determination in our hearts about the coming year and maybe change? Many times we fail in the real motivation that is needed. It has to come from my heart. And in our new birth, in John chapter 15, we read there, verse 1, I am the true vine, Christ said. And we would like to put in another word, I am the false vine, artificial vine, the painted vine. I am the rope vine, the illusionary vine. I am the lying vine. The devil could, we believe he is a lying vine, and people are connected to a lie. But because of our new birth, that Christ has come into our hearts and we have the Holy Spirit, then we have a new motivation and a new heart. I love the story about King David when he stole King Saul's spear, and he went across the valley, crept into the camp, stole the spear, went back to the other side, and then yelled out, Abner, Abner, you have failed in your job. Whose spear is this but the king's? Abner, you're a lousy bodyguard, security officer. And King Saul said, David, my son, is that you? And David said these beautiful words, and listen to them very carefully. 1 Samuel 26, 23. David answered 22 and said, Behold, the king's spear, let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in my eyes, as your life was important to me before my eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. You see, that's a beautiful twist. It would have read, as your life was precious in my eyes, so let my life be precious in your eyes. That's how we would say it. But he didn't say it that way. As I have treated you, so let God treat me. This is a beautiful thing about David. He always brought God into the picture. He did it again in 2 Samuel 16. The true vine and the branches that are connected to the true vine, those branches, that new life, that new relationship. I don't want to make light of it, but have you ever, like, you could crush a bug, but you say, Lord, I'm not going to crush that bug, and that's so that you're not going to crush me. As I treat that bug, so please treat me. We're not talking about bugs. Crush them, that's not my business. I don't really care whatever you do with the bugs. But when it comes to the Lord's anointed, that does mean something. You cannot go against God's people. God wants us to be in our new heart, having new kind of resolutions in our hearts. God-centered issues. Losing weight, that's fine. Getting healthy, that's fine. Reading more, whatever it is, you know, that's not the point. The point is, those things are too small for us day by day, week by week, year by year. We are called to something amazing, and this is John 15 that we shared this morning about coverings. The devil was covered by stones, the attributes of God. Then the devil was to be God's covering cherub, and he was to be a covering for the angels in the government. But a huge breakdown happened in God's government in heaven, that the guy that's to be in charge went bad. Proud, iniquity was found in him. Then he lied to the angels and spread it around. And a third of them fell. And they came here to planet Earth. And it was here where God made man, made in his image. We are so fearfully, wonderfully made. It's fantastic who we are. And we are here for a short period of time in a spiritual battle with resolve in our hearts that God has put in our hearts. Resolve. What Webster says it is, it's what you think it is. It's the same definition. I have it here somewhere. Just because I have it and I said it, I might as well read it, try to find it. Yeah. Two, fix in opinion or purpose to determine in mind. To be resolved to abandon his vicious course of life. And as we said this morning, the word fool has gotten my attention in the scripture. And I've been reading the verses where that word is there. And the many different parts of what it means to be a fool. A fool can learn a lot and be very smart and very gifted, but be so wrong. Like Adolf Hitler was a fool. But he was so capable politically that he rose to power getting rid of his enemies by many ways: murder, anger, threats, manipulations, lying, deceit. Another thing about a fool, and this is what got my attention. If I have my iPad here, I mean, it's a simple little picture, but it's an amazing verse. I believe it's 14:9. It says, a fool makes a mock of sin. And here's the diagram. Here's God in heaven. And what does he think about sin? Here is the earth where people are, and here is hell. And what does hell say about sin? And on the earth, what does a fool say about sin? Do you know what he says? He mocks it and calls it a joke. He mocks sin. I have sin. Ha, 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 ha. Ridiculous. Who cares? Sin. That's nothing. Everyone does. It's a part of life. Come on. Have a party. Have a joke. Come on. You know, sin. You can't be so serious about that. Sin. Lying, everybody, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, you get the idea? But what does heaven say about sin? Heaven weeps. Heaven gave its only precious son to die for our sin. And when the spear went in the nails and the thorn, it was not a joke. It was not a joke. It was the most serious thing you could ever get a hold of. And when sin strikes in a family, when sin takes a life, when a body is found behind a dumpster, a woman who once was a little baby in the arms of a mother, and sin strikes, it's not a joke. But a fool says it's a joke. It's nothing. What does hell say about sin? Hell is like so serious about it that people are in hell because of sin. Hell, it makes it wide open in Isaiah chapter 5, enlarges itself to receive the sinners that go to hell. It is so serious and so real. It is so powerful. But a fool doesn't know it. Probably everyone in this room knows of somebody who has overdosed in the last year. We have people that have overdosed from these wicked, evil drugs. They're on the streets, and the drug dealers go free, not responsible. It's a joke. They cut their drugs, and they sell them, and it's just a game. It's just a joke. But those are real people being buried in the cemetery. Real moms, daughters, and sons. What a joke is it? It's not. Yeah? Amazing. You don't feel this way unless you're grafted into the vine. When we're grafted into the vine, we become wise people, godly people, loving people, serving people, giving people, alive people, precious people, thankful people, humble people, vigilant people, serving people, passionate people, awake people, alive people. Sir, we're alive. Like New Year's resolutions are, that's fine. That's your business, and I'm not. That can happen. It's not the amazing, amazing reality is that I got some resolution in August. I got a resolution in July and June and September. I got something on a Monday morning and a Tuesday night. I got something from God that he's putting in my heart, and it's cutting a new pathway. It's a new pathway. That's how we could enter into our new year, saying that God will lead us in a pathway that maybe a new pathway, like Joshua, God said to Joshua, rise up. Moses is dead. Now rise up, take a shower, change your clothes, and follow the ark, for you have not been this way before, in chapter 3 of Joshua. I love it. Come on. Lord, new habits. Let's go to the text. Chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Who takes away? My Father is the husbandman. Husbandman. Husbandman is an old English word for an agricultural person, a farmer. You know what is funny? That old word, husbandman, became the word for a man who's married to a wife. The man that's married to the man is called a husband. Why is he called a husband? Because he took care, a husbandman takes care of the fields and the flocks and the cattle. He's a husbandman. He's a gardener. He takes care. And the same word for a man who gets married. He's a husband. Show up. Husbands, right? And our Heavenly Father is a husbandman who cuts off those branches that are on me today and lops off a dead branch and says, you don't need this. He takes away the bad habit. He says, you don't need it. It's a dead branch. He takes away the lie. He lops it off with a machete. He prunes it with a pruning shears. He takes care. I love it to think that God is pruning us this year. Like he did a great time in these last 12 years. We have been pastoring here and our team and our body, and we've seen thousands of people come, and many of them go also. They come and they go, but our Father is the husbandman that takes care of the vine. And if we abide in the vine, he is going to take care of us all the time. But a fool delights itself in deceit. Another thing about a fool, it says wisdom is too high for a fool. Like Jesus is here standing over here talking, and a fool is over here, and he's listening or watching Jesus for a while, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and he's just thinking, I need to go get a sandwich. Are you hearing him? Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand him. I'm not so interested. It's too high for him. But it's not too high for those that fear God. For those that fear God, it's the beginning of wisdom. And we start to hear, and we get a diet. We start to pay attention. What does God have to say to me? In our prayers for the United States of America and all these amazing men of God that I have met through the years in the United States, Kansas City, I hear them on the radio. David Jeremiah, and there's Andy Stanley and Charles Swindoll and these men. May God pour a blessing. And all the unknown men of God like us, the common or the folks that are just like whatever, it doesn't matter to us. We just want to lead our people to abide in the vine. And if we abide in the vine, then the Spirit of God will lead us in things, ways of thinking in wisdom and loving it. I love wisdom. That's what happens. When we are wise, we gain wisdom. When we hear, we begin to hear. When we are hearing, we are hearing, and we have a covering. Devil, where's your covering? You're covered with iniquity and foolishness. You are independent of any covering. You want your independence, but in your independence, you are very clever, but you're very foolish. The ladder for your success is leaning on the wrong building. That food you're eating is taking away nourishment from your very existence. You are a liar and the father of lies and make your bed in hell. You dig a pit and fall into it. Ask Haman. You raise up a man that brings shame and alerts people to God. Because after World War II in Europe, there were revivals. And the Jews went back to Israel. And the very thing that Hitler tried to do through Satan is the very thing that promoted the nation of Israel so that it got its independence to the United Nations in May 14, 1948, was it? And it became a nation and it still struggles today. But it cannot be denied that that was a worldwide decision made by nations in this world, granting them statesmanship, granting them their nation, because the devil is a fool. And unfortunately, so are we. Get a hold of that in your heart and know how foolish you are. So stupid and so foolish. We cannot raise our families. We cannot husband our wives. We cannot teach our children. We cannot lead our country. We cannot help our community. We cannot reach out to our teenagers because we're so consumed with our self-centeredness, which is a good definition for what it is to be a fool. I don't mind it. Because in Isaiah 35, it says there's a highway of holiness and no lion or ravenous beast can go there. And though a fool, I will not err therein. And I'm like that. I'm the guy that can't tie his shoes. I'm the guy that can't figure out how to speak. I'm the guy that doesn't know about prayer. I'm the man that cannot love righteousness. I'm the guy that doesn't know about forgiveness. I don't know the way to go. Oh, God, you are my God. God, you can do this. You gave your son. And there must be something serious here. And God is saying, I weep. I am broken over the stupid, foolish lives of people that don't know how to direct their footsteps. They are fools. They run after women. They steal money. They lie into the nighttime. They lay in bed devising mischievous plans of plotting to steal and hurt and destroy. Even some cannot sleep until they have devised some manipulative mechanism for the destruction of other people. What is adultery? It's the destruction of a family. And do you want to be part of that? What is an orphan? It's a child without a mom and a dad. Do we want to be part of that? What is a divided church? It may be rooted in the foolish hearts of leaders that have not sought God with all their heart, with all their focus, and with all humility, asking God to heal the church, asking God to forgive people, asking God to bring revival, asking humility to ring in the hearts of God's people who I've decided to abide in the true vine. Another thing, a very silly philosophical, theological discussions that some of our brothers and sisters through history have had that have been divisive are rooted in pride. They talk about this or they talk about that, and they may use the Bible, and Jesus is privy to it, and he knows what it is. And he said, you do greatly err because you don't know the scripture, nor do you know the power of God. I am so happy I went to a Bible college where we got down on our knees and God saying to us, if you can't go out and evangelize, then you can't be in the ministry. How can you be in the ministry if you don't care about lost people? Pastor Stevens would guide us and counsel. You could read the Bible day and night, but if you don't have love, agape love, then it all profits nothing. I love that. So thank you, church. Guys, you can hear these things and in your heart say amen. Thank you, church, because we got something good going on, and it's the Spirit of God leading us in all wisdom and application. Let's finish. 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There's something cleansing in a prayer life. And I got two things to say in the prayer life of the believer. I want you to get out of the negative feelings about prayer. I want you to get out of the kind of feeling about some religious thing. I want you to get out of that whole thing of, you know, it's a burden, or I don't pray enough, or I don't pray as I should, and all those things. I don't want you to think about that. I don't care about that. I want you to think about it this way. I feel honored that I can come before the living God. I feel honored. I can actually get excited about it. Long before I pray, I want to be thinking about the excitement that the Lord can put in my heart. I am rested. I am waiting on God, and I'm kind of excited that I can go before God. I think the angels could be jealous of us. Guys, we can go before God in a unique way. They can go before God also. I don't know how that works, but I know for us that how exciting it can be if I can think about it and kind of hatch the idea, incubate the idea, warm it up, kind of think about it. I am coming before him, and I'm listening, and he loves me. And he's everywhere. He's everywhere. And he's powerful. And he knows everything. And he is so holy and so righteous. And he's for me. He's for me. And he gave Christ for us. And we can live like this. And then like in my hunger, I can take a chapter. I'm not going anywhere, shut everything down, kind of in my quietness, wherever I am, but I just kind of are excited about it in my heart. And I might, if I don't have the excitement, I can say, Lord, like stir in my heart, put it in my heart. Give me a hunger for your word. Give me a hunger. I believe that my prayer life is related to my hunger for this book. And that's the second thing I want to say. There's something about reading the Bible that also Christians struggle with. I mean, do you read the Bible? I've read the Bible. I'm not so excited about it. I've read it. I try to do it. To be honest, I can't concentrate on it. I can't get it. I don't know what these guys are talking about, but I believe it is awesome. But for me, it isn't so much like that. I know. But I want to ask you something for this year. Because you are abiding in the vine, because Christ has promised us that he would trim the tree, our Father in heaven would trim the tree. If you read down there, he said, I am the true vine, verse 5. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't even read the Bible without me. You cannot even pray without me. You cannot even love yourself without me. You cannot get out of the swamp of your psychology, swamp of your identity, swamp of your self-awareness, swamp of your guilt and fear and anxiety, the swamp of the foolishness of my own heart. Without him, I can't. But if a man abides in me, verse 6, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I want this year to be earth-shaking in our lives. I want God to hear us and be moved by our prayers in such a way that every person in this room, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done. I want God, and I would say he has done it. He has done it. I mean, in my life, he has done it. I mean, it's huge. It's amazing. That's why I'm excited about it in my heart. I got issues. I have things. We all have stuff, whether it is our family, our money, our jobs, our future, our fears, our anxieties, whatever it is. It doesn't. All that stuff is peanuts compared to what we're talking about. Let it be. Let it rain on us. Be whatever the troubles are, they are dwarfed in the presence of God. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Even Mount Zion was shaken at the presence of God when he came down. There's nothing in this world. Even the tomb could not hold him. He is far above all principality and powers, and so are we. We are privileged to reign in this world over principalities and powers and demons. We're privileged to reign. And when somebody curses you, you can say, let him curse on. Maybe it will mean that God will shower me with a blessing. If somebody stole from you, then let it be. Maybe just let it be and pray for them and love them and say, God, you look upon it and reward me and bless me. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. But when we live by faith, we not only have the fruit that comes off the vine by way of our spirit and our love, but it might be also practically and circumstantially, God will shower us with blessings, materially, relationally, and many other ways. No. Let's not limit the Holy One of Israel. Would you pray also this year that all our churches would multiply, they would double and triple, that God would raise up disciples and men of God and particular people that God would put his hand on them and they would not rest until they did his will and walked in his will and did his thing. Whatever it might be. Let us pray that God would pour out a revival and a blessing in our nation in ways that we cannot even know. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think. Wow. What is the point? Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Do you know what? I'm sorry to say it, but the fool finds himself. He cannot go. He goes here. He cannot get satisfaction. Actually, there is a proverb where it says, the fool does find the satisfaction in his foolishness. But he ultimately wakes up and he cannot ever really get the rest. He can't really find it. And there he is. And our prayer is, Lord, please make those people wake up and realize and come hear the gospel. Come by faith. Come as you are. Please come, all, everybody. Come, please come and be born again. And may the Spirit of God dwell in you and fill you and satisfy you, and you drink deeply of the well. May the Spirit of God move in you and you be abiding in the vine. And if this happens all the days of our life by God's grace, wouldn't it be amazing all these days? And then we will know how to speak to our children and help our teenagers. We will know how to husband our wives, and wives care and respect their husband and their calling. Because when I remember getting married and realizing that my wife was with me in my calling. Like in my life, it went that way. My calling, and my wife was there, and she kind of gave up her life before God. And he did this. He made us a team. And we found another way. We found a new way. And that's the way of the vine. And we see it here in our church. It is precious. It can be fragile. If things can be broken, we find ourselves, I do have a tendency to be a fool. I know that, and I have seen it. But that's okay, because I know where to go. I know how to think about it. I say, amen, yes, that's true, but I got an answer for my foolishness. And I have found the cleansing of God, the prayer and the word. The prayer and the word. And you get the Bible and you get on your knees and you say before God, I want this thing. Lord, you need me. I mean, you need to put it in me. You need to have this thing start cooking in me. Help me in it. And then maybe I can share it with others. Give me wisdom and give me help. And because the people around me, they may be laughing and having a good time, but it's nothing but foolishness in some cases. They are partying, but it is tinkling cymbals. And it is empty thorns crackling under the pot. Their laughter is hollow and empty like the hearts of men. But Jesus came and he gave us this ministry. Now, we're going to pass the microphone around a little bit and have people say a word or two about what God has done. And I am saying with clarity tonight, with an echoing, resonating clarity, saying, hallelujah, God, you have anointed us as your people. You are the head of the church and all the many parts of it around the world, with all kinds of believers everywhere. And you have been faithful to us, and you hear our cry. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us in our cultures and our backgrounds and our ethnic backgrounds and our preferences and prejudices and our biases and our foolishness and our emptiness, and ring it clear in the Holy Spirit, in our heart and mind, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that the Holy Spirit is the way of love, that forgiveness is the way of God, that prayer is what moves mountains, that the Bible is a living book that resonates and pulsates in our blood veins spiritually. And we say, we've got a message. We got one. We got one. Hear it in Africa. Hear it in the parts of the world. Hear it in Towson and Glen Burnie and Pasadena. Hear it in Havre de Grace. Hear it in Silver Spring, and yes, we do need it. What I'd like you to do as we finish this is make a little group right around you, a little group of prayer just for a few minutes tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, that message spoke to my heart. Let's have a few minutes of prayer. Make a little group. Would you stand with me right now? Stand and do it, and then turn around and say a few words and have a prayer together. Father, we pray for our prayer lives this year, this moment, this hour, this week, our prayer lives. You could revolutionize our prayer lives, Lord. And you can do this coming, these times, God, we pray, we're going to see things happen because you are God and you're with us. God, you're going to do things. God, you're going to send laborers. You're going to raise up money. You're going to bring prodigals back home. You're going to heal bodies. You're going to take cancer and throw it into the sea. You're going to help people. You're going to fill the churches, Lord. You're going to save souls. You're going to bless our villages and towns and cities. You're going to bring healing. God, you're going to do this. We're going to pray like we're serious about it. It's going to happen. It is happening. It is happening, and more will happen. We ask you it, and then give the word in our spirit. And then when we pray, we have that authority. In Christ's name, we pray for this. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for the government. We pray for the people. We pray for the men and women of God. We pray for the unsaved. We pray for your moving here. We're not pushovers, no. We believe you. We got God in our lives. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I gotta just say one or two more words about this. I want the proverb up on the screen. This is a proverb for this year. I want you to memorize it. 14:9. Proverbs 14:9. Say it out loud with me, please. Fools make a mock at sin. That's all you have to memorize, because I'm going to be easy on you. That's all. Say it 4 times. Fools make a mock at sin. Again, fools make a mock. It's a joke. It's a joke. Sin is a joke. Adultery is a joke. It's a joke. Taking drugs is a joke. It's no big deal. It's just a joke. It is sin. Lying is a sin. They make a mock up and they mock it. They mock it. But heaven does not. Heaven gave its son. Heaven bleeds because of sin. Heaven weeps because of sin. Moms and dads in this earth that are burying their children are weeping and broken by sin. It's not a joke. That's what I wanted to say. Okay, you got it? What did we do 4? No. You tried to trick me. How many more? Fools, say it again. Fools make a mock of sin. One more time. Fools make a mock of sin. Okay, welcome the folks here. God bless you.